Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Welcome into Morning Invest on this Friday, February 4th. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
We have a jam-packed show for you today. We're going to be talking about a fight that happened yesterday at the State Department over this so-called Russian disinformation campaign that the United States says Russia is involved with. Are we about to head to war with Russia? We're going to show you what happened at the State Department. It's pretty amazing.
And there was war in Syria this week, and the United States has given us a little bit more explanation. We're going to break that down.
And also, Canada is asking for the GoFundMe money that's been set up for these Canadian truckers in this convoy to be put on hold. We want to know where this money is going. We don't necessarily think it should be going to terrorists or white supremacists or truckers. So we're going to get to the bottom of this story. All of that and more as Friday's edition rolls along. Oh, good morning, everybody.
Welcome to your Friday. We're glad you joined us. It's a busy news day, busy news weekend, and a lot to talk about today. We're excited that you've joined us.
That's right. We have a daily newsletter you should sign up for if you go to morninginvest.com. Morninginvest.com is the place to go. It'll be delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. So we cover some of the big stories. You can read it over your cup of coffee. We think, you know, brightens your day a little bit.
For instance, headline image today is that there is now a sexy Build-A-Bear from the same company that brings you regular Build-A-Bear.
No, see, that's what I would be. I would definitely be all bored with that.
A sexy, like the, if mean? You look through, click through the images, some of them are just kind of like a bear you give your beloved with flowers. And then some of them are kind of like suggestive, like, oh, the bear is feeling desires. I don't know. It's very strange. It also is probably also terrible for the environment.
Creepy, creepy,
just
sexy
like
bears.
Valentine flowers. There are eco-friendly ways to show someone you love them, I would say.
Don't give your significant other a creepy, sexy bear. I'm just gonna say.
And a lot of them are like wine holding bears too, which jumps a whole other shark.
All right, let's start today with the Pentagon. So something interesting unfolded yesterday at the Pentagon. As you know, the White House has been beating the drums for us to head into a war with Russia. I think the United States government would love nothing more than for us to be involved in a protracted, lengthy war with Russia. So you're starting to hear like the groundwork being laid. Pieces of evidence are being thrown out there as true that this is what Russia is doing. And this is why we need to be prepared, sending 8,000 troops to Ukraine in order to be prepared because Russia is about to invade.
So the United States now says that Russia is about to release fake videos that they are using corpses, that they have actually hired actors to come and show some kind of conflict by Kiev military forces. They're warning, if we see those videos, do not believe them. They were faked. So if you saw some kind of casting call on social media to be in a Russian video, It's fake. Don't believe it. Now, when the State Department was asked, how do we know this? We did not really get a straight answer.
Yeah. So the Associated Press is Matt Lee. This is Matt Lee at the Associated Press. He's a diplomatic writer for the Associated Press. He said, okay, well, then show us the details of this. And here's how it unfolded yesterday at the State Department. A really unbelievable moment in the State Department. I'm going to play the whole thing because it is worth listening to.
Thanks. Okay. Well, that's quite a mouthful there. So you said actions such as these suggest otherwise, suggest meaning that they suggest they're not interested in talks and they're going to go ahead with some kind of a, what action are you talking about?
One, the actions I've just pointed to. The fact that Russia continues to engage in disinformation campaigns.
You made an allegation that they might do that. Have they actually done it?
What we know, Matt, is what I have just said, that they have engaged in this activity, because obviously this is not the first time we've made these reports public. You'll remember that just a few weeks ago.
I'm sorry, made what report public?
You've made these reports public in the past. Like, when we have this kind of information, we make this stuff public. Let's just recount some of this. We'll get back to Mr. Price here in a second. Ned Price, the State Department spokesperson. But here's some examples. Documents reveal U.S. officials misled the public on the war in Afghanistan. How about this? Lie by lie, a timeline of how we got into Iraq. Mushroom clouds, duct tape, Judy Miller, a curveball recalling how Americans were sold a bogus claim for invasion. Here's another one from the New York Times. How the U.S. hid an airstrike that killed dozens of civilians in Syria. Like on and on and on.
Do you have any weapons of mass destruction?
Well, I mean, here you go. Right? Here's the line by line timeline about this. And by the way, we should point out that this guy, Ned Price, he is a former CIA guy. So the guy that's speaking right now, remember, as Benjamin Norton points out, this CIA State Department spokesman, Ned Price, is former CIA, which brought us hits like WMDs, Russiagate, Havana Syndrome, and now claiming Russia will do a crazy false flag operation. And you have to just go along and believe them with zero evidence because, you know, the U.S. government says so. Career CIA analyst. But let's get back to Ned Price.
If you'll let me finish, I will tell you what report we made public. We told you a few weeks ago that we have information indicating Russia also has already prepositioned a group of operatives to conduct a false flag operation in eastern Ukraine. So that, Matt, to your question, is an action that Russia has already taken.
It's an action that you say that they have taken, but you have shown no evidence to confirm that. And I'm going to get to the next question here, which is, what is the evidence that they... I mean, this is like crisis actors, really? This is like Alex Jones territory you're getting into now. What evidence do you have to support the idea that there is some propaganda film in the making?
Matt, this is derived from information known to the U.S. government, intelligence information that we have declassified.
Ask me that question? How dare you? How dare you ask me that question? And I think that speaks, you know, you're supposed to just take what they say at face value, like during the Obama administration.
Oh, it gets better. He suggests like printing out my words as evidence. Like he goes on to say, well, if you'd like to just write my words down and then I'll hand them to you and you have some evidence. That evidence does not make, guys. Right. You can't just print out things and say, there's your evidence.
Here's my evidence.
Where is it? Where is this information?
It is intelligence information that we have declassified.
Well, where is it? Where's the declassified information?
I just delivered it.
No, you made a series of allegations.
Would you like us to print it out at the top? Because you will see a transcript of this briefing that you can print out for yourself.
That's not evidence, Ned. That's you saying it. That's not evidence. I'm sorry.
What would you like, Matt?
What do you mean? You don't take my word as evidence?
I don't understand. You really? You don't? I mean, if you doubt, this is like what, and I love this tweet, Price response. If you doubt the credibility of the U.S. government or the British government or other governments and you want to, you know, find solace in information that the Russians are putting out, that's for you. That's on you to do.
No, this is you saying the Russians will say this.
Right.
That's not, nobody's trying to find solace in any of that.
I mean...
I would like to see some proof that you can show that
Matt, you
that,
have been...
That shows that the Russians are doing it. Ned, I've been doing this for a while.
I know, that was my point. You have been doing this for quite a while. You know that when we declassify intelligence information, we do so in a means. We do so.
Did you hear that?
So he says, I remember WMDs in Iraq. So this is somebody who is trying to learn from previous mistakes when the AP may have reported that there were, because he's an AP reporter, maybe, in fact, you know, we could just rewind the tape, when the AP reported what the government said about WMDs, which are mass weapons of mass destruction. So he's saying, you can't fool me twice, right? So I do remember this. Now I'd like a little bit more than last time, right? This is, it's like my dad would always say, there's not a big difference between one lie and two. There's a big difference between zero and one.
Right.
Zero and one, now you tell lies. You are a person who tells lies, right?
And I come
between
back...
one and two, there's not. So he's just saying, we've been through this before. So let's say it's totally reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, again, here's the lie by lie, lie by lie by lie, how we got into the Iraq war with WMDs. There's going to be mushroom clouds. I mean, all of this. And we were sold this bill of goods. We had Colin Powell sitting there with a vial of what was supposed to be chemical weapons. We had Donald Rumsfeld then later coming out and saying, well, you know, yeah, we were wrong about the WMDs. They were going to be in Tikrit, then they were going to be over here, then they were going to be over here. But they weren't there to begin with. We knew that they weren't there to begin with.
It was WMD whack-a-mole.
Yeah, and it didn't exist. So there was a fake whack-a-mole.
Let's let him finish because this is worth watching.
With an eye to protecting sources and methods.
Kabul is not going to fall. I remember a lot of things. So where is the declassified information other than you coming out here and saying...
Matt, I'm sorry you don't like the format, but we have declassified.
It's not the format, it's the content.
I'm sorry you don't like the content. I'm sorry you are doubting the information that is in the possession of the U.S. government.
No,
what I'm telling you is that this is information that's available to us. We are making it available to you.
Well, then do it.
Right.
That's what he's asking. He just
order,
wants the information.
For a couple reasons. One is to attempt to deter the Russians.
Would it have been better if they had printouts, like, here, we're coming here. Here's a press release, and then that, like, if you have a folder, would that, you know, he's acting like...
No, because that's what they've done before. I mean, that's what they've done before. They've just basically handed reporters press releases, and especially during the Obama administration, these press reporters would just go and regurgitate it literally verbatim, almost from the White House press report, would show up in the USA Today, would show up in the New York Times.
So what this guy is highlighting, that you saying something does not make it true. This is super shocking to the State Department.
Right. And, you know, as Edward Snowden tweets and he says, look, anyone who questions a statement delivered from a podium is a tool of the Russians, the Islamic State, or both. Sorry, you know the rules. And he's being facetious here, of course. Right. So just because you're questioning it, and he even says, I'm sorry. He says, I'm sorry that you question the U.S. government. I'm sorry that you just question the information the U.S. government is putting out here. I'm sorry. He's like apologizing to him, like, you little child that you would.
Very condescending.
Right.
Questions from going ahead with this activity. Two, in the event we're not able to do that, in the event the Russians do go ahead with this, to make it clear as day, to lay bare the fact that this has always been an attempt on the part of the Russian Federation to fabricate a pretext.
Yeah, but you don't have any evidence to back it up other than what you're saying. It's like you're saying, we think we have information the Russians may do this, but you won't tell us what the information is.
That,
and then
that is the idea behind deterrence, Matt. That is the idea behind deterrence. It is our hope that the Russians don't go forward with this.
You say, I just gave it to you. But that's not what
you seem not to understand. You seem not to understand the idea of deterrence. We are trying to deter the Russians from moving forward with this type of activity. That is why we're making it public today. If the Russians don't go forward with this, that is not ipso facto an indication that they never had plans to do so.
But then it's unprovable. My God, what is the evidence that you have that suggests that the Russians are even planning this?
Matt,
I'm not saying that they're not. But you just come out and say this and expect us just to believe it without you showing a shred of evidence that it's actually true. Other than when I ask, or when anyone else asked, what's the information? You said, well, I just gave it to you, which was just you making a statement.
Matt, you said yourself, you've been in this business for quite a long time. You know that when we make information, intelligence information public, we do so in a way that protects sensitive sources and methods. You also know that we do so, we declassify information only when we're confident in that information. If you doubt the credibility of the US government, of the British government, of other governments, and want to find solace in information that the Russians are putting out, that is for you to do.
I'm not asking.
How condescending is that? You want to find solace? I mean, that's literally what he says. And he wants to find.
It's not at all about how he feels about it.
Right.
It's not about how anybody
that's for you
perceives it. Right. It's about like, okay, let's have something like maybe a screenshot from Final Cut Pro or an acting casting call or. A thumb drive taken from like
here are some images we got of this little acting scene that they were putting together with corpses, and they were going to pretend that the Ukrainians did this to us. That's why we're lost. Just give us something.
Take something from Game of Thrones. You know, but we get like, you know, something.
And I have to say, good on the Associated Press. Good on Matt Lee for questioning this. By the way, we should all know his name. Like, this is an important reporter. You know, like asking serious questions. Who's been there? And he says, look, I've been burned. We've been all burned by WMDs. This is Matt Lee from the Associated Press.
DGAF, like that was a. I've been around the block, you know. Like, he calls himself. I'm an old dude. I'm a curmudgeon. I'm just not falling for this anymore. I'm too old for this crap. Kind of thing.
You know, and we get this information. I mean, when you look at look at this Politico article, right? Should the U.S. rattle Putin's cage? Presented by Lockheed Martin. Like, this is where we get our information. We get from a military-industrial complex. Like, you have an article in Politico that is asking whether or not we should basically bomb Russia. Rattle Putin's cage, presented by Lockheed Martin, which stands to make millions, billions off of us going into a protracted war.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
That should not be allowed.
But that's what we do. That's the American government. That's what, you know, this is the information that comes out of this. I should point out, too, that, so is any of this true? Right. What is the other reporting from the Ukrainian side? Interestingly enough, we have this report from a reporter, Sean Walker. He said, before today's U.S. briefing dropped, I spoke to Ukraine's deputy defense minister about a recent U.S. intel claim, and she had this to say. Last weekend, Reuters and CNN cited senior U.S. officials claiming Russia had moved blood supplies close to the border, indicating a potential imminent military attack. Ukraine's deputy defense minister, Hanna Miliar, denounced the blood supply claim, calling it a provocation designed to spread panic and fear in our society. Well, and on Thursday, Miliar told The Guardian she checked that claim with Ukrainian intelligence agencies, which had their own sources. It simply wasn't true, she said. We found no information to back this up. We did not see any blood supplies move to the front line or even in the civilian hospitals around the front, she said in an interview at the military airfield outside of Kiev. It's really important to look at the sources. These sources were anonymous, and I don't think it's right to use anonymous sources that cannot be checked, she said.
Okay.
So all of this information about there's all of these military hospitals being set up on the border, and blood supplies are being taken to the front because, you know, get ready. Okay, we're not saying that that's not true. We're not saying that Russia is not ready to invade, but give us the proof of this false flag operation. Give us the proof that you're trying to drag us into a war.
Right.
That's all I want.
Okay, I mean, it's interesting. So we're not saying these things are not true. We're saying we don't. It's very fishy the way that it's being presented.
Yeah.
So we did get more clarification about the military strike in Syria that happened just a day or so ago. The U.S. confirmed that it did, in fact, kill ISIS leader Abu Ibrahim al-Hashimi al-Qurayshi in a raid on Syria on Thursday. You know, the New York Times or the Washington Post, I'm sorry, the Wall Street Journal. Take three. The Wall Street Journal called this a foreign policy victory for President Biden amid a vexing crisis in Ukraine and domestic problems. I find that an interesting way to present this, as if the president needed some kind of foreign policy victory And we all just agree that that is the case. There was a raid that happened. Now, the U.S. is saying that al-Karashi detonated a suicide bomb during the raid that killed himself and his own family. When asked if they could prove that, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said they would provide every detail they can. So in the context of this previous State Department press release or press conference we just played, that doesn't feel like much to hang our hats on. I'm just going to say that without judgment.
Oh, you're going to provide us some evidence? Okay, let's do that.
We will get to it.
Yeah, let's get some evidence. I would love to see that evidence because, I mean, you think about the videos, the photos that have emerged from other news agencies that aren't tied to the United States from this raid. And you have like outside of the where, let me just read to you from this Al Jazeera report, by the way. So here is, for instance, outside, right? These are clear impact shots through the outside of this building, right? So, and residents cleaning up the front of the shop that was damaged in this raid. A Syrian who lives a blocks away says he told Al Jazeera that his family was awoken by the early hours. We woke up at 1 a.m. to the sound of helicopters. Then around 3 a.m., we heard a barrage of attacks. We saw a house that was targeted and damaged rose. We have still no idea what was going on. Residents said the helicopters were hovering over the building for more than 2 hours before attacking it. Then they carried out a landing operation, stormed the house, okay?
I'm still so confused with the, we warned them to get out, but the terrorists stayed put. It's just, that's the part that I can't make heads or tails of. Like,
right.
we're going to kill only this guy, everybody else get out. And then he stuck around. From the president's speech about this, he said, quote, knowing that this terrorist had chosen to surround himself with families, including children, we made a choice to pursue a special forces raid at a much greater risk to our own people rather than targeting him with an airstrike. We made this choice to minimize civilian casualties. Again, this is something I don't understand these words. We knew he was surrounded by his own family and children, and he made that choice to be with his own family. I'm not defending this man at all, but I'm just confused with this. Like, we decided to do this special force raid rather than do an airstrike because he was surrounded by his family and children, which then killed his family and children. Again, they're saying that they're calling this a cowardice move because he detonated a bomb, which they thought was a bomb vest, and killed a bunch of people around him, that he did that on purpose.
So that he had time, I guess, to, and they might be right, show the evidence. 13 people died, 6 children killed during this raid. And initially it was like, okay, this was a special forces raid. That's how these people died. And maybe, maybe not. You see the gunfire on the outside of the buildings. You see the damage to the front of the buildings, right? So clearly there was fire coming from outside in to these buildings. Did anyone get killed during that? Or was it simply everyone that was killed, all the civilians that were killed, were thanks to the ISIS leader putting on a suicide vest?
Now, in the Wall Street Journal, there's a quote from Bill Roggio, a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who studies terrorist groups. And he says that this death will have a minimal impact on the terrorist group operations. The organization is designed to survive the loss of a leader and always has a plan of succession. So if you read the newspapers this morning, it's like, oh, we really sort of handicapped ISIS by doing this. But people who study these organizations know that they are not dependent on one person's ideology. There's a great book called The Starfish and the Spider, talking about how some organizations are starfishes. So like, if you remove one limb, it grows back, and they are designed to be that way. Whereas organizations, it's actually a business book, that are created like a spider, where if you crush this, you know, the head of the spider, it does not go on. These terrorist groups are a starfish. They are created with a contingency plan in place. These leaders don't just like grow old into the sunset and then their ideas, you know, die out. It is well entrenched. So how much of a success we can call this is unclear. Because ISIS still exists.
Yeah, but it's very weakened. It was already weakened. They had really kind of gone underground to begin with. And as the RT points out, like, this is, you know, what's next for ISIS? Members have been driven underground. The second leader was killed in less than a few years by the United States. The group is still capable of mounting some attacks. But really, I love when the president says, this makes America safer. Like, you are now safer at night because of what we've done in Syria. Do any of us believe that? ISIS isn't attacking us in the United States, by the way. But if you pick up the newspapers, I mean, front page of like the Los Angeles Times magazine, it's like, how safe are you in Los Angeles with crime spiking like crazy? Just pick up the Philadelphia newspapers and look at the absolute crime that's unfolding on the streets of Philadelphia and Chicago and other parts of the country. So do you feel safer because an ISIS leader is taken off the map? Okay, let me know in the comments. I'd love to know if that's the case.
Yes, and I did notice a good smattering of like ISIS was trying to rise and we just pushed. Like, let me just tell you what they were doing and what we have prevented, which may or may not be true, right? But it does seem like it's very self-justifying at this point. And I don't know one way or the other. But again, I point out that just earlier this very week, the Department of Defense said we are going to be more forthcoming about civilian casualties and that we are going to make sure, you know, everything is out beforehand and we are going to work to minimize that. And then just a few days later, several women and children and other innocent civilians are killed. So we just pose those pieces of news and say, okay, that's, you know, that 90-day plan maybe should be put a rush on that.
We've got more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about what's going on up in the Canadian trucker convoy. SWAT teams move in and money being withheld. We're going to get to that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo. Smart trading anytime, anywhere. And you can get up to $7,000 in free stock right now, plus a free AMC stock by using the Moomoo platform. It's very easy to use. It's very clean and easy. You can see here on your screen that you can use it on an iPhone, a tablet, your desktop computer. And you can trade anytime, anywhere with zero commissions. You don't have to pay any commissions to these guys. You can invest in U.S. stocks, ETFs, anything you want right there inside of Moomoo. So here's what you do. You go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo. That's M-O-O-M-O-O. And they're going to give you, first of all, when you get free stocks just for signing up, and then when you make an initial deposit, you get additional free stocks. On top of that, they're giving away free AMC stock. And you have a chance to get up to $7,000 in stocks just for signing up. Very simple to use. Just go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo. It's my favorite trading platform of choice. Plus, you get all kinds of news, 24/7 financial news, right side inside of the app. And you have a global investment community that teaches you. You can learn from 15 million users worldwide to unlock the power of trading. So morninginvest.com/Moomoo is the place to go. Check it out today.
Well, in Canada, GoFundMe executives are being asked how they are going to account for the over $10 million in donations that were sent towards the Canadian truck envoy that was created to protest vaccine mandates. Not vaccines, but vaccine mandates. This GoFundMe page has been put on hold after it hit $10 million. And now the House of Commons Public Safety and National Security Committee is asking GoFundMe to tell them what safeguards it has in place when it comes to releasing those funds for the trucker convoy.
This is outrageous. What safety protocols are in place? What do they mean?
Well, specifically, they are saying the Canadian government has said this was a fringe movement, and they have also said that it was a veil for certain extremists and white supremacists. Okay. When, for the most part, the people who spoke on behalf of it said, we are just speaking out for the freedom of our truckers to have the choice to take the vaccine or not without losing their livelihood. But Canada continues to say, well, these are extremist groups using this as a veil for their own movement. So they also want an accounting for the $1 million that has already been distributed to the GoFundMe organizers, which they say was for fuel, food, and lodging costs for the truckers that took part. Now, if you know anything about how truckers' lives run, you know that they are always a dollar short. always, even when they get to their final job, they get their final paycheck, when they deliver their cans of whipped cream, right, to a distribution center, they still have to wait in long lines. They still have to pay their fuel and insurance. They are almost always behind. So for them to take time out of their schedule and do this, they will be behind immediately from the moment they make that decision. And so this GoFundMe was to help them pay for food and fuel. The lawyer for the organization, Keith Wilson, who was representing the truckers, said that there has been steps to establish a proper accounting. And in fact, that, you know, the problem with GoFundMe is it's not an actual charity, despite the fact that when you click on it, usually it's like so-and-so's family has had this hardship, so-and-so's business has had this hardship, please donate.
Right.
But it's not a real tax-deductible charity. And so whoever takes that money can, in fact, be taxed on it heavily. So if they had not already had a plan in place to funnel that money down to the truckers, then somebody was going to have a high tax bill. It would only be prudent to do that. And this lawyer, Keith Wilson, says all of the funds that have not yet made it to the bank account are being held into the trust for the benefit of the movement, and they have an accountant involved and lawyers. There's audit procedures and so on, which will allow GoFundMe to flow the funds that so many have donated. So they say this is on the up and up, whatever the Canadian government wants you to think or not. They're saying that now you cannot donate to this GoFundMe page. It's paused, and GoFundMe says our lawyers are taking a look. We're trying to make sure that it's all on the up and up. This is not usually what GoFundMe does. They don't get involved in picking sides. And it's interesting that they preemptively picked a side before they were asked to testify in front of the Canadian government.
Right. And so shortly before the publication, I mean, GoFundMe announced that this campaign, like when this information was coming out, GoFundMe announced the campaign is paused, currently under review, and that it's going to comply with this with its terms of service. Nonetheless, $1 million has already been distributed, and other related campaigns are still up and running. So are they violating their own terms of service by allowing the money to all have already been distributed? Like what pressure was put upon GoFundMe to suddenly take a look at this when they already have separate things that are up and running on their website? So it's a big bowl of hypocrisy. The crowdfunding success has already been covered. Like the media has been covering this for weeks about the crowdfunding that's already been in place for this. So now they're going to check it out.
Right.
Now they're going to check it out because the Canadian MPs put pressure on them for this.
And so then should every GoFundMe page be, you know, a lot of times you hear media stories about how GoFundMe pages were used in some kind of inappropriate way. So now are they going to take responsibility for that?
Yeah. I mean, GoFundMe could say that it wants to be neutral, right? It wants to be neutral here, and how the money is raised on its platform, it does not, you know, we have no involvement in how the money is raised or how it's distributed. You're simply using our platform regardless of your political views. But now GoFundMe and other crowdfunding platforms, you know, they're regularly, we've heard this over the past few weeks, they're regularly sticking their neck in now on certain campaigns and banning certain things because it violates their terms of service, right? Didn't we see, I think, the MyPillow guy? I mean, there's a bunch of stuff where they're now sticking their neck into political things to say that this is a violation of our terms of service because we don't agree with your politics at the end of the day.
Yes. There was a woman who spoke out against the George Floyd protests and said that she didn't think George Floyd was a hero, and then that sort of sunk her business, and they took her GoFundMe page off because they didn't like what she said. Again, I don't necessarily like what she said either, but in America, you have the right to say things that other people don't like. Does that mean then you don't also have the right to certain web services because of that, right? It's an interesting question that I don't think we should have a knee-jerk reaction to, because if GoFundMe preemptively did this, they're saying they will cooperate with the Canadian government to give them a proper accounting. But then again, every GoFundMe page should have a proper accounting because these are high tax nations, right? You can't just give someone money without a tax trail. And so that should just be a given, that this happens, right?
Yeah, and then on the other side of this, and I'm not saying that this is the case, but on the other side of this argument are those people that say that this whole convoy is full of white supremacists, they have swastikas, and there's been criticism of media for ignoring, like, there's sweatshirts and hoodies that show Trudeau with like a noose around his neck and things like that. People ignoring that, saying in news reports like, hey, you know, you should be showing this stuff. You should be showing the swastikas. You should be showing the QAnon comments and the white supremacist comments that are showing up on GoFundMe's website. Why are you ignoring this? So there are those on the other side saying, hey, if you go to the GoFundMe page for this, you'll see all sorts of conspiracy theories and QAnon comments and swastikas and all of this stuff. So again,
but should you be able to support the movement and also support fringe movements and donate? Yes.
Right. And
sure.
Is it fringe when you have tens of thousands of people who are taking to the streets to say that we, you know,
yes, you can.
That's fringe.
You can believe that, I don't know, some that JFK Jr. is going to be Trump's running mate in 2024,
right,
and also be against vaccine mandates. Both things can be true, right? Yeah. So can you then parse out my donation? Like, I give you $1 and I believe these things, that vaccines should not be mandated and that JFK Jr. is alive. So then should only 50 cents of my dollar go to the campaign because I also am fringe?
Right. I mean, and, you know, again, so should, and are there a few rotten apples that are always going to spoil a bunch? So I'm sure if you look through anything, you're going to find people that have maybe crazy out there beliefs. So you have like the antihate.ca website and their group saying, hey, this freedom convoy is nothing but a vehicle of the far right. You know, it's just all it is, just white supremacists, right? They have a whole blog post and website devoted to it. They say that they've raised $6 million, but if you look at its organizers and promoters, you'll find Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, racism, and incitements to violence. So are you painting this entire movement because of a few individuals? You know, is that how you're trying to paint this? And then it gets them off the hook for calling this a legitimate cause. You know, just think more critically about this stuff. But again, you know, should GoFundMe be able to pick these sort of winners and losers in this situation? Well, I guess they are, because that's what they're doing right
now. Well, we don't know. And it could be that after a proper accounting, this money does in fact go to people who have legitimate fuel receipts,
right?
But can you not get a fuel receipt if you are a swastika tattooed person, but you were in fact protesting vaccine mandates?
Right. Is it up for GoFundMe to decide how you, I mean, yeah.
Like, what if you are someone who's like, yes, I do have white supremacy views. That's allowed, right? Of course it's allowed. But I do also I caused no problems. I do think that vaccine mandates hurts my brethren and I don't want anything to do with it. So I came here to support it. I have a legitimate fuel receipt, but I do also have a swastika tattoo.
But I'm also racist.
Like, can that person not participate? Do you preclude yourself from, I don't know the answer to it. It's like, an interesting question.
Yeah, I don't like your views. You're a Trump supporter.
You're a skinhead.
You're a skinhead. You know? You're a white supremacist.
Then you don't get any other views at all. We throw the baby out with the racist bathwater.
Right. You're anti-Semitic. Therefore, you don't get gas. We can't pay your gas. Like, we need to run down your laundry list of political views. I know we're being extreme here, but where does the extreme part stop? You know, again, when it comes to we see what the Democratic Party does to the Green Party, you know, I mean, so it doesn't have to be extreme. We don't have to be talking about white supremacy here for political groups to have their day and to push other political groups and other viewpoints away. It happens all the time. So let us know your thoughts in the comments below on that story.
All right. Speaking of pushing other opinions down,
this is outrageous. Yeah.
Twitter has released a feature that they are saying helps you to vote down comments that are not productive part of the conversation. So here's a screenshot of what Twitter says that this is for. They're saying it's not. Yes, this one.
This one.
Yes. Click it. Click that. Okay, so this is an example that Twitter says. Some dude says, does anyone have a restaurant recommendation for New York City? I'm going for the first time and I'm overwhelmed. And everyone's like, oh yes, great, great, great. And then this Wade Warren here says, the city's overweighted, not worth the traffic. That is their example.
Of a voted down.
Of the kind of thing that you should vote down because it's unproductive. Even that I would sort of take issue with. Like,
so here's the message you get from Twitter that pops up when you log in now. It says, you know, we're introducing reply downvotes. Tap to downvote.
So, of course, this is interesting because who is motivated to do that is anyone who wants to bury information that they don't like, right? So, for instance, the U.S. government can tell you this thing is happening. Someone can respond in a thread and say, I don't think that's happening. Oh, can we all vote that down so that any dissenting voices are algorithmically suppressed? That's interesting. That's actually the take that Edward Snowden has on it.
Yeah, he says, Twitter just introduced downvotes, an exciting new feature that lets you help the algorithm make this place an even bigger echo chamber than it already is. And I think he's absolutely right about it. This is probably why we are seeing the death of social media. I mean, look at the front page of Drudge this morning. Crash of Facebook, biggest wipeout in history. $252 billion gone. Zuck blames TikTok. And then you saw also, of course, Snapchat had some good earnings, but we're seeing the decline of Facebook. We're seeing the decline of Instagram. We're seeing the decline of Twitter. People just are saying, hey, enough is enough. We don't want to be on these platforms that are suppressing voices. We see that certainly on YouTube. We've seen that, you know, entire YouTube channels being banned because they take a position on something. I mean, look, Dan Bongino's channel, right? Wiped off the face of YouTube for talking about vaccine mandates, talking about masks. And now what happens, right? He's taken off of YouTube, regardless of how you feel about him. And then 2 weeks later, now Dr. Scott Gottlieb and doctors are having a frank discussion about mask mandates in schools.
Yes. Right?
His channel, though, gone 2 weeks ago. And now guess what? The CDC and doctors are having the same discussion about this very same thing that he talked about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. It's so interesting to see how, you know, certain people will be just, yeah. And who's going to use this, right? Both sides will use this to, even this example here, I was like, is that really not productive for someone to say this example that, click it.
I'm trying to, my mouse won't work.
Click right there.
I'm trying to, my mouse won't, look at this stupid.
Push
mouse.
The button.
There we go.
There we go.
Stupid mouse.
Okay. Why is that someone to be silent?
Okay, so let's take this apart. This is Twitter's example, okay? So does anyone have restaurant recommendations for New York City? I'm going for the first time and I'm overwhelmed. And then Wade says, the city is overrated, not worth the traffic.
So is Wade a troll? Because he says, don't go to New York City and I didn't like it there. Is that really like a troll worthy of taking the time to say, Wade, don't say that, right? Why can't Wade feel that way?
Right. But no, now we have to, downvote that. Now, I guess, look, this is similar to what they've had on Reddit for a while, right? Things get upvoted. Things get upvoted and downvoted. So,
yes.
Okay.
I suppose, but it is.
But it's put under the auspices of, as Twitter writes it here, to make Twitter better. Your feedback helps us prioritize higher quality content for you and everyone on Twitter. Don't worry, though. Downvotes are private. Your votes aren't public. So we get to, in private, shadow ban people. This is like shadow banning people.
You know, it's interesting because Twitter was launched with the idea of microblogging, meaning you share your thoughts as a stream of consciousness. Mm-hmm. But now nobody would use it that way. We have to think so hard about what we say because you could be offensive so easily, right? And now you can be punished for your own stream of consciousness. Like that, Wade, the troll.
Remember that one woman who she tweeted something racist. I don't know what it was. She was, it was off color. I don't remember exactly what it was. So.
Oh, yes. It was the woman who said, going to South Africa, hope I don't get AIDS.
Right. So she tweets that while she's about to take off on a flight. While she's in the air, that tweet goes viral. When she lands, I think she found out she was fired.
She lost her boyfriend. She lost her job. She lost her,
all from a tweet. I hope, going to South Africa, I hope I don't get AIDS.
That was a very stupid thing to say. Are you saying that she shouldn't have lost her whole life.
I don't know what the context was. I mean,
that's the context. She's a traveling fool.
Traveling fool. Okay. Yeah. Should she have been canceled? I guess. I mean, yes, these things happen. These things happen all the time.
I don't think those things happen. I have never thought something like that. Like, you know, let me just say something like an entire continent.
So we could downvote her, right? Then we wouldn't see that content. We could just downvote her and say, you know, we just want liberal voices here on this platform. I guess. Rachel Maddow's tweets. That's all we want. Stephen Colbert and Rachel Maddow's
tweets.
But
where will we place our outrage if we can't, like, we can't downvote things that we want to hate on? That's counterproductive. Then we'll have nothing to do.
I mean, I think you could. Look, I think that stuff would bubble to the surface, though, don't you? I don't know. I just think...
Well, we'll have to see how it works.
So now the algorithm will push down dissenting voices. Like, if you want to talk about things that are important, the things that we talk about here on this show, the things that the mainstream media won't cover, if you make a mention about how school, you know, masks in schools are hurt... Here, just let's use that as an example, right? Maybe you tweet... Well, there's evidence emerging that masks in schools are hurting our children developmentally. It's really, you know, you give a whole host of reasons. People could just downvote that, so it's quieted. We won't see it.
Yes.
You know, this information just gets hidden. We don't get it no more. You know, because we know Twitter was already doing it. Now it's almost like they're putting the auspices on you to downvote it.
That is, you hit the nail on the head.
I mean, they're already shadow banning people, but now it just gets them off the hook. Yeah. Now it lets you shadow ban people.
Yeah, that's a bullseye. You're saying it exactly right. That's a yes to all of that.
I'm gonna end the show on that note.
Oh no, today. We're gonna end the show on trending.
Okay.
Before we get you out of here, we're gonna tell you what's trending today, and you can tell us what you think or join the conversation online if you'd like. Madam Web is trending because, according to The Hollywood Reporter, Dakota Johnson is in talks to play a female Spider-Verse character. Apparently, she was a character introduced in the 1980s in the Amazing Spider-Man comics, and she's a clairvoyant. She can predict the future.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm interested to see where they're going to go with the Spider-Verse stuff. I mean, obviously...
I believe that this is not... intended to be a movie, but a series, but it's not clear. It's just that they are going to do it and they want a female lead.
Okay. Ghost Spider could be another choice. That's a female. Ghost Spider made her appearance in the Miles Morales Spider-Man movie.
Okay.
So I don't know. We'll see.
All right. Adam Carolla is trending. Okay. We're going to play it and you tell us what you think for saying this on Hannity last night.
And here's a quick thought experiment. If AOC was fat and in her 60s, would anyone listen to another thing she ever said?
Oh, boy. You're going to step in that one. What exactly do you mean by that? Do you mean, is it because she's young what?
Yes, she's young, she's vibrant, she's beautiful, and everyone's always putting a camera and a mic in her face. But... her opinions are idiotic 95% of the time. And I don't think if she was a middle-aged, heavy-set woman, anyone would care what she had to say.
I'm not so sure I agree. Now, I will say this. You can criticize her ideas, and I do. I think the Green New Deal is madness and insanity. But she's got the whole Democratic Party following her. In my opinion, she's way more powerful than Speaker Pelosi, and if she and the squad decide Speaker Pelosi's out, I think she could probably be Speaker. If she challenges Chuck Schumer in New York, I think she has a good shot of beating him. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I agree with you. I'm just saying if she was fat and old, I don't think TMZ would be chasing her around with a camera.
I didn't...
All right.
Okay, Adam.
So you know how she recently said, you know, all you Republican haters, you just want to date me? This kind of plays right into that, right?
Yeah.
People are like, what are you saying? It's very derogative.
Maybe. So maybe Adam's right. I mean, there's no way to really measure that, I guess, right?
Sure there is. Absolutely there is. You can do a content analysis of her counterparts who say the same thing and her and figure out how much media coverage, how much camera time, and how much headline time how many headlines. You absolutely could quantify that with
okay, so let's take Bernie Sanders. I'm not saying he's fat. I'm just saying he's older, right?
Bernie Sanders is exciting in his own way. Let's take someone like Ilhan Omar.
Okay, Ilhan Omar is not fat or over, is not old. She's skinny and
yes,
young.
She is, but does she have the sex appeal of AOC with the red lipstick and the, you know, and the pretty outfits? Like, you absolutely could do a content analysis of other people, other progressives who say the same thing, to see who gets more camera time. That's quantifiable.
Okay.
So I haven't done it, so I don't know.
So Ro Khanna, right? He from California says the same things virtually as AOC. Who gets more camera time? Probably AOC.
Yes.
I would wager that is
our
true.
Hypothesis. Having not done the content analysis, we don't know, but absolutely that is provable.
It feels that way, just because we feel like we see her a lot more.
It feels that way, but there is an algorithm that makes us feel that way. So maybe if I was a real fan of this Californian guy, it would feel differently.
So, but I want to take umbrage with something that Sean Hannity said, which is that he thinks that she's running the Democratic Party. No, she's not. No, sorry, Sean, she's not. Nancy Pelosi is way more powerful than she is. And if, in fact, AOC was running the Democratic Party, we might actually have student loan forgiveness. We might actually have college for all Americans. We might actually have the things that AOC has been pushing for. We might actually have that second version of the stimulus, which we never got.
Yes.
If she was really running the Democratic Party, and she's not, pays lip service to us, tweets it, and then falls back in line when Nancy Pelosi wants to get something done. So I don't think she's as powerful. I don't think she's as powerful as Fox News would have you believe at all.
Okay. That's you can join opinion. That conversation online. Yeah. Krispy Kreme is trending in response to this tweet asking, what is the GOAT donut? That doesn't have anything to do with goat meat or goat milk. It means greatest of all time. Here are the choices.
If you're listening to the audio version, there's like, what, 12 donuts on your screen. There's an original plain sugar glazed chocolate iced powdered coffee roll, or a cinnamon bun as it's called, a Boston cream, chocolate cruller, jelly filled sour cream, glazed blueberry, and glazed chocolate.
My favorite is not on there. I like the maple donut.
Of course
Why
you do.
Wouldn't anybody choose?
Of course you do, Grandma.
Clayton, he teases me because I only like desserts that are like really, really old school. Like butter pecan is my favorite ice cream.
Like a grandma, something a grandma eats. Yeah,
toffee and that kind of thing. I was like, where's the maple glaze?
We used to play when we go out to dinner. We would get the dessert menu, and the joke would be, "Hey, can you pick? You're going to pick mine.
Pick
what I would choose."
And it's always like the bread pudding or whatever.
Whatever something my 80-year-old grandmother would have chosen is what I pick.
That's
and she's
jam.
Like, "That's the one I want. How'd you know?" And I'm like, "But yeah, so that's not on here." None of those
butter
are on
pecan
here.
Is the best ice cream. I don't know why.
What was the
it's
response? Did they have a poll, or is this just trending?
Just people really like to ring.
So
in
if
on
I
it.
Had to pick, my favorite's not on here. I really like I like the chocolate glazed. I like a chocolate glazed. I don't need anything filled inside of it.
Then you'd do the upper right because you also don't mind sprinkles.
Oh, so chocolate iced. Yeah. I would take that one probably. Okay. I also like a good. Like the ones on the lower, the glazed blueberry or the sour cream.
Those kind of dehydrated looking crispy ones. I like that too.
Yeah, that's like a good one with coffee.
The old fashions is what they used to call them at my donut shop.
My grandmother used to like the cruller, a cruller.
I do like the old fashioned. The cruller is the one, if you're listening to it, it looks like a trucking tire.
Right.
Yeah.
Trucking.
Okay. Finally, Leslie Jones is trending because the Olympics have launched and she likes to tweet herself responding to popular news. And she's at it again with the Olympics. So what she does is she observes things about what people are wearing or you know, she does her own commentary. I cannot follow her, though, because she has blocked me.
Really?
On Twitter. Yes. I remember I told you this a couple months ago. She tweeted a video of a woman explaining vaccine science. And it was a very odd camera angle. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Also, is she in a bathroom? And Leslie Jones tweeted back to me, that's what you notice? And she blocked me, which I thought was very hilarious because her whole shtick is to notice people's background. But she blocked me for doing it, I guess because I'm not funny and she is funny. And so I was like, oh, I thought that was what we're doing here.
Noticing people's backgrounds.
Okay, so we can't do that. So anyway, she blocked me because she didn't like that response. I guess nowadays she could just vote it down.
Right.
But
it's easier to block people.
I still really appreciate her coverage. I just can't see it in my feed. I did take a clip from someone else. So this provides people with a lot of entertainment, just not me, because I've been blocked.
So she just yells at the TV.
That's yes.
What her shtick is.
Yeah, so don't try and do it too.
It's like a modern day.
Because she could block you.
Modern day Mystery Science Theater. She just yells at news stuff and coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway.
All right. I guess that's one way to make the Olympics exciting this year.
Yes.
Not watch the Olympics, just watch Leslie Jones mocking the Olympics.
Oh, it's fun. It's good fun. It's good fun. She's very famous in our house, too, because we like to quote that Spider-Man. Or no, the Darth Vader video on Saturday Night Live where Kylo Ren is pretending to be undercover boss and she just yells at him the whole time. So my son always does like, where's my muffin, Matt?
I haven't had my muffin yet,
Matt. So we love Leslie Jones, but she doesn't love me.
Well,
not everybody does.
Hate to break it to you, kid.
That's how we're ending the show.
Yep. On this Friday edition.
Natalie's unlikability, constant theme on this program.
So don't forget to become a channel member. You can support what we do here on the show by going to morninginvest.com/join is how you can become a channel member. And just for the price of a cup of coffee. Look, I finished my whole coffee. This was espresso over oat milk. By the way, we're out of oat milk. We got to.
I do know this. It's in the shared shopping list.
So thank you so much for joining us on this Friday edition. Be kind to everyone. We will be back here on Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern time for another edition of Morning Invest. We'll see you next time, everyone. Bye.
Have a great weekend.
Black Friday is bringing the sunshine and the savings with Cheap Caribbean Vacations. Right now, you can score $500 off site-wide vacation packages when you book 4 nights or more. From Cancun to Aruba to Punta Cana, your next beach vacay is calling your name. It's the perfect time to book. What are you waiting for? Go to cheapcaribbean.com and get $500 off your next vacation today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.